This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
The Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast and the only one that's sponsored by and brought to you by the delicious taste of Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment made to
I don't think
chill.
We're the only Holy one.
It,
I
it
like
is.
I like that we
go look it up.
Asserted none others are actually sponsored, which means they are lying.
Story.
Your contracts are now voided. Other podcasts.
I don't mean to tell tales out of school, but do y'all remember that email we got from Meadowlark like a month ago where they were saying like, you know, hey, here's a list of potential, you know, pre-roll sponsors for the show. I'd forgotten until this morning that LinkedIn was in there, and I just wonder how those conversations are going.
I think LinkedIn was smart not to do it because look at everything they've gotten for
free. I know.
Free.
I'm like, should we reverse this deal and now ask you for money?
I think that ship has sailed. I think, as usual, LinkedIn's huge business brain has triumphed.
We got stories in the same week about we're seeing a huge rise of creatives on LinkedIn and hoping that they're mistaking those traffic spikes for just us in the show. And then it was like, oh, mass layoffs at LinkedIn. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like the that sounds like our dual effect.
We do it all, really. Mm. I love LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is.
Huh? I've never heard a less believable sentence.
Hang on,
I gotta say this. Oh, the problem with having LinkedIn as a sponsor initially was that none of us had ever used it. Like, they approached us for a sponsor, and we're like, we're fundamentally fine with what you do, but we've never used you and can't testify to it. And now we have very different testimonials, which is one of which is that is the cleanest, crispest audio streaming platform I have ever used.
I love
is
LinkedIn.
Is this going to turn into like a...
Spencer keeps trying to tell us how much
no,
you know.
I'm going
to tell you
about this. Go ahead. Fine.
I love it for the same reasons that
lies.
I know. That I know Ryan Nanny loves it.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is that finally I get to hear people really talk about business.
What?
That's why I love it.
Yeah, to believe in nothing.
It's... If you want to find people who are like, getting run over by a steamroller was the best thing that ever happened.
Hashtag ground grind.
Like, no. Fallen grind.
Hashtag ground set.
Like, nothing bad has ever happened to anybody on LinkedIn. It's all an opportunity. It's all growth. It's all new opportunities. Like, it's amazing. Oh,
shut down
boy.
Fullcast gained 101 followers in the last 24 hours. Yeah, I fucking bet.
It's all the worst things in the world happening to people and them being like, blessing. This is fucking great.
If we replace our amount of Twitter followers on LinkedIn faster than we can do it on Blue Sky, I'm going to be so thrilled.
When Ray Stans trapped me in his special trap,
yeah,
it gave me a lot of time to think.
And kept me from eating hot dogs in the Plaza Hotel. It really changed my outlook on business.
Yeah. There's people who are clearly overloaded and having the worst ideas at all times, and they post about it like they're coping well. Like, Bunky posted this one guy who's an exec who was like, yeah, you know, it's really good. Somebody recommended a massage, so I had a meeting while I got the massage. And it's this, like, poor lunch lady from, like, Indonesia Airlines who they've talked into, like, giving a massage to this dude who is shirtless, like, in the middle of a meeting.
Oh.
Right?
It's also good because it's an interlay of, like, normal people who are like, hey, if you are if you're a hiring manager, get back to people who apply, like, just do this is, like, super rude and people aren't doing it. It's like, yep, that's totally normal. And then there's Slimer being like, I'm Adobe certified now. And I am ready to work. Hashtag ready to work Slimer.
Hashtag business to business makes me feel good.
Like, where else can I get an important message from the NSA that says, we know you do your best work when you take time off for yourself? And I'm like, that's right. When I've had a busy 36-hour shift listening to Ukrainian communications.
Is that how y'all killed Bobby Kennedy?
Yeah.
From a booth. Taking some time off ahead of time?
In Fort Meade, Maryland. I'm so happy that you guys will let me go swim laps. I feel really good about that.
God. There is the origin of really the bulk of our audience, which is people just trying to skate their jobs. My favorite of which was the Saturday night. The first Saturday night we were in there, we were also awaiting a speaker vote. And there were people who I could see worked in the White House because they were in there with their actual names going like, hey, does anybody want to talk about the Speaker of the House vote?
Oh, man.
Just sitting there fucking off on their phones as they had to at that moment. Yeah, this is beautiful. We see all y'all. We love you.
Most Does anybody want to talk to the Speaker of the House? Because
I'm sorry. You mean Jeffries? Yes.
I'm sitting beside whoever it might be.
I would love to talk to Mr. Jeffries, to Congressman Jeffries. He was getting the most votes, therefore I assume he's the Speaker.
It's a split title. It's a Michigan, Nebraska thing. Yeah.
Why don't they just embrace that? Yeah.
Nebraska or Jim Jordan. I'm sorry. That's just how it has to be.
Damn.
Ugh.
Wow.
I gotta say, of all the problems Nebraska's had, is that actually not one of them? That's wild.
They have Clarence Thomas, so.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Thank you. Withdrawn.
Hey,
a voicemail.
Transition seamless.
I was just trying to ejecto-cito cuz.
Done.
Hey, dudes. It's Scott from New Jersey, your proud shutdown Fullcast Rutgers correspondent. Big win for the Scarlet Knights today. They got the win over Michigan State. They stink. And, yeah, Rutgers looks pretty good.
Can we pause briefly?
Yeah. Wait, who stinks?
It doesn't matter. That's the nice thing about us. All interpretations are valid. Sorry, go ahead.
The Shiano men are chopping. We're one win away from going bowl eligible, so it'd be super cool if you said something nice about us. Appreciate you guys. You have fans here in New Jersey enjoying a nice ice-cold brew from Coors Light, Mountain Brewed, Mountain Fresh, Mountain Cold at the Rockies, or whatever it is that Spencer says. Anyway, we love you guys. And we hope this is the year that Rutgers breaks their 154 non-title streak. Maybe this is it. It could be it. Who knows? Especially when the 12-team playoff happens. You never know. Anyway, love you guys. Hail Ra the Sun God. And all the best to you. Anyway, shout out Holly for letting me know that this voicemail line still exists.
Yeah, I agree. Shout out to me.
Rob the Sun God blesses. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Scott, man. Way to go.
Rutgers has won titles. They won the Middle Atlantic Conference during like around 1960. And they won, I think, a share of a Big East title. So, no, we're good.
I love when he says that this is, and I don't want to be mean, like, oh, you're managing your expectations, but this is like a healthy human expectation of, like, when he says this is Rutgers year, and you're like, oh God, what's going to follow this? And then it's like, oh, no, you're fine.
Rutgers has an important role to play still this season. And that concerns the Iowa Hawkeyes. Now, Iowa just beat Wisconsin, and doing so took the lead in the Big Ten West. And now we are already having to contemplate, like, what if Iowa makes the playoff? What if Iowa wins the Big Ten?
How am I supposed to explain this to my children?
Mm-hmm.
Here are the remaining Iowa opponents. Minnesota. Minnesota, absolutely not going to beat Iowa. Unwatchable football team. With a passing attack that is like, oh man, we got to 37% this week. That's fucking great.
Can we pause a second? Has anybody been paying enough attention to Minnesota this year to understand what's going on? Because I have not.
Their passing game is truly abominable.
PJ has never had. I was just wondering if it was like a development thing or an injuries thing. Because like, one thing that for all of his PJ-itude, PJ has never really struggled with is having a preponderance of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not seem to have the dudes.
Last week against
the very technical term of dudes. He does not seem to have like the big uglies and the big fasts.
Not last week because they were on bye last week. The week before against Michigan, and Michigan is obviously awesome.
Right. This is yeah.
They averaged 3.3 yards an attempt. Even when they are good, they have not thrown for 200 yards a single time this season. They have six touchdowns to seven interceptions. They completed 36% of their passes against North Carolina. Like, it's just not, it's an entirely one-dimensional offensive attack. So Minnesota off the board, definitely not going to beat Iowa.
Yeah, by the way, I'm going to continue a theme.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to say nice things about Rutgers. Do you know who's like so many spots better than... That's right!
Oh, God.
Rutgers! Better than Minnesota!
Yes.
Woo!
What song is this?
That's I'm a Boss.
Good.
Oh, okay.
Good. Thank you.
All I heard was...
Northwestern.
Antioch. Noted Rutgers fan.
Northwestern not going to beat Iowa. Better than Minnesota because they played that game, but not going to beat Iowa. I'm going to skip over the Rutgers game, which is third on this list. Illinois, this version of Illinois, not going to beat Iowa.
Mm-mm.
Definitely not going to happen. And then, of course, at the end of the season, Nebraska, absolutely not going to beat Iowa.
This is a situation where it'll look like they're going to beat Iowa, but then they're Nebraska.
Then they'll fuck it up. Rutgers goes to Iowa on November 11th, and you say, well, Iowa's got this killer defense and these special teams. Rutgers doesn't care, baby. What do you think Rutgers is trying to do on offense? They're not trying to run you over. Whatever you're going to slow down the Rutgers offense? This bitch is made to be slow. They're
Who's
happy
that
with
that. Down the track?
Not us.
Who's that coming down the track?
Not us.
Too far away, see down the track.
Rutgers is going to...
Over the horizon, down the track.
Rutgers is going to beat Iowa.
Possibly actually moving back.
On the road and knock Iowa out of the playoff conversation and do us all a great service in the process.
Hey, we haven't been to a game this year as a group, I'm just saying.
I'm not going to Rutgers.
No.
Absolutely not.
School!
We went to UConn-Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Holly, that was awesome.
Holly, I want you to imagine the conversation I have when I say to my wife, can you please watch our two small children? I have to go to Iowa Rutgers.
Okay, when you bring your wife's personal wrath into this and she can reach me, then that's a different calculus.
It's the have to that makes that so rich.
We could take your oldest.
I have to go to Rutgers.
I have to. I feel compelled to attend this. But no, Rutgers is going to win a bowl game, and they're going to get to a bowl game, and they're going to knock out Iowa from the playoff, and maybe they'll win a bowl game. I don't know what bowl they'd be in, but maybe. Sure.
Probably one of the new ones that sounds fake. You know, every year there's like three or four that are like, where'd this come from? One of those.
Are there any new bowl games this year?
Huh.
I mean, like new titles and names and that.
Oh,
that sort of
okay,
thing.
But we don't have any like
the ones
up.
Where it's like you've been watching the game for 30 minutes and you're still discovering who the sponsor is.
Right. Okay.
The Iowa thing is whoever set up their schedule should have put some more thought into it because we can't just be left with this situation where like a team that got shut out is going to be in the conference title game.
Instead of the team that shut them out, potentially.
Quite possibly. Very quite possibly.
Wait, is the Pop-Tarts Bowl new?
I think that's a former Cheez-It Bowl.
It's an Orlando game. Okay.
It
was
the Cheez-It.
So we've still got that like crimped edge snack sensation. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, if I say that ball sounds really bad, maybe they'll send me another charcuterie board.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Sorry. One of the mobile game that was whatever is now the 68 Ventures.
That called the SEC. That company's
so
doing
close.
Something.
Man.
They're called 68 Ventures.
That's one of those. That's one of those New Mexico fake New Mexico bowls.
Pop-Tart charcuterie board is some real Instagram bullshit. Let me tell you what. You do big numbers on Instagram with Pop-Tart charcuterie board.
I saw the most upsetting
bullshit.
Version of those I've ever seen the other night.
The word bullshit means, oh, yeah, I wouldn't eat that. I would eat every single bit of it.
Yeah, but by the way, if you're...
The rest of them all appear normal, or at least unchanged from last year. Nothing normal about the Gasparilla Bowl.
Yeah, apparently 68 Ventures builds homes on the Gulf Coast, which, as we all know, are built of like sawdust and graham crackers and chewing gum.
How's your dad?
Fraud.
Great. Yeah, go ahead. Investigate them for something. They're doing something. They're sponsoring a bowl game, and they're named 68 Ventures. That is a...
What is that? Why are they called
sponsoring
that?
Sponsoring a bowl game.
Like,
It's probably some guy's jersey number.
Oh, yeah.
So we couldn't call it 69 Ventures because the accountants weren't cool.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah.
Our bold vision and drive are transforming the Gulf Coast. What are you?
Mm-hmm. Erosion.
You're
that's what they are.
Oh, my God. This is a hockey thing? 68 is derived from a jersey.
Yes.
Oh, no. There's Bible verses all over this thing.
Okay.
Okay.
They just got like a wall of quotes here. This is like, oh no.
So on their website, they say it's derived
quoting Churchill. You can't just quote the U.S. Navy SEALs. That's not a thing.
All of them.
Why aren't you quoting the Marines?
That's what the video game said they were saying.
Oh, this website is terrible.
It says it's based on Jaromir Jagr because that was his jersey number, which was based on the year 1968.
When you think Gulf Coast.
When his grandfather was killed during the Russian invasion of Czechoslovakia.
This
is a very complicated...
All of that is on there?
Yeah, 100%.
You know what this is? Smokescreen. Fraud.
The Winston Churchill courage crushes fear. Mm-hmm. Quote in here. Right. They've got the Fight Club guy quoted. Oh, God.
Ooh. Which Fight Club guy?
Sorry, the actual author of Fight Club.
Okay, because that's the funniest.
Tyler Durden quote would be amazing.
Does CEO Tom Haverford have anything else?
They got Leonardo da Vinci praying to God.
This is an Entertainment 720S
They got
company
Luke
right here.
Where is this? Values?
Yeah, this is under the Values tab. Scroll down to their, they got Luke 137, which is fine.
This does nothing to dissuade me from my belief that if you just examine half of all businesses with just even the tiniest...
They have a manifesto!
The tiniest of magnifying glasses,
they
would be found guilty of something.
Grit trumps talent! What? Mm-hmm. That's a great message for a football bowl game in...
So,
what did I say this was?
Remember, hey, Rutgers, remember that. Grit trumps talent.
Facing our Goliaths to unlock the David within us. Who wrote this?
This is a company that builds houses on the beach?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. That's what it is. Fuck the ocean.
Yeah.
Realizing we can... At the bottom of their manifesto, realizing we can only be defeated by giving up or dying, burning the boats, folks. Watch your boats.
So they assert that Luke 1:37 says, "Faith, it does not make things easy; it makes them possible."
I don't actually think that's
not the verse. For nothing will be impossible with God, referring to Mary bearing a child with the Holy Spirit. Not building a house,
much like your home will spring forth out of the sand.
Hey, you know who's building something, right?
That's right, Greg Schiano, baby! Woo! Scarlet Knights are back!
Y'all, there's a lot of people. Oh, wow. Wow, that's a big group photo with,
Okay.
That's a big singular demographic photo.
The CEO of this company did play football in Alabama.
What?
His name is
Nathan, we gotta look him up.
Nathan Cox. I'm on
What would he know about giving up or dying?
I'm on his LinkedIn.
They have an employee. Okay, I know we just got over Todd Carl Panthers, but they have an assistance administrator named Todd Scallions.
If
delicious.
If this is the right person, yeah. I'm on his LinkedIn page because again, it all comes back to LinkedIn, where business gets done.
This is week 8, right?
It says he played football from 2000 to 2003. According to Sports Reference, there is a Nathan Cox who they have listed as a running back.
Yeah.
But the only, like, game action that they have is that he kicked 4 extra points and a field goal in 2002.
Hey, he was 4 for 4.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No shade.
Good job, man.
Like, who did these? I have a feeling this couldn't have been across more than 2 games.
So while you're counting that, I just got to the manifesto part. I didn't realize it was literally called manifesto. It is 700 words within an already text-heavy web page.
Yeah, this is...
Zoinks.
Yeah, congratulations on sponsoring the Mobile Bowl. The investigation from the feds
These
is on
These commercials are going to be fucking wild.
They are. This is, and also you get to make the dead-eyed...
Chuck Palahniuk, he gets us.
Yeah, you get the dead-eyed... You'd get the dead-eyed ad that you get to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hi.
Oh, this ain't gonna be dead.
Cox from 68.
It's gonna be the other kind of eye.
Mm-hmm. I also mix him up with Chihuly, and I'm like, oh, they got the glass guy. And no, no, he didn't.
Fuck. That's who should sponsor a bowl right there. Just imagine the trophy you'd get if fucking if Dale Chihuly was sponsoring a bowl game.
You know who's probably been phoning it in for the better part of 20 years? Dale Chihuly.
Oh, fuck
that's right.
You.
What the fuck, man?
You.
Come
no,
on.
No, think
just,
about
just
it.
Just don't project.
He would. What?
Ask you again. What's it like to believe in nothing?
It's delightful.
The 68 Ventures has a join the team page.
I checked it. It's just like a little a contact us form with a subject line joining the team.
Yeah, folks, don't go spam.
Don't apply to the.
Don't go spam
do.
These people.
No.
Or unless you, I mean, apply for jobs.
I mean, if you need a job, sure. But
find them on LinkedIn.
Don't mess with whoever it is that has to look at this.
That's right.
No.
Why are we Unless talking about... Oh, because of Rutgers. That's right.
Jeff Scalia.
This is where Rutgers is going to go.
This is where Rutgers led us.
What bowl is this?
It's the one...
What bowl did it used to be?
Oh, if it's a mobile, didn't it used to be the...
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so it's the former Lending Tree Dollar General GoDaddy
GMAC. We still
GMAC.
Have Amelia. Yes. Yes. We
okay.
still have the...
So we're looking...
Whatever's in the Crampton Bowl.
Likely two lower tier G5 teams.
Pinstripe,
Excuse
baby.
Me, mid-major.
Pinstripe.
This is going to be like South Alabama and Rutgers.
So one Columbus Dispatch projection has the Pinstripe Bowl with Rutgers versus NC State.
That's
NC State. Yeah. I'm not wishing for anything good for them after they ruined my playoff pick.
That's magnificently pinstripe.
Yeah, I'm down there with Serber.
We want the bowl game for the
He's
city
really
that never
listening.
Sleeps,
okay.
Because we need some sleep.
Oh,
we all need some sleep. Let's watch.
You
Rutgers
said NC
State,
and he immediately stopped listening, which I think is the right
yeah,
move.
That is correct.
Once again,
the only other team
really
in our playoff picks roster that is as bad as NC State is, of course, Texas A&M.
Sure.
Once again,
I believe Jason's
American
winning and
program.
Ryan's in second.
I have Michigan, so I'm good. I'm going to win the whole thing.
Server, what were you saying?
It's not important.
I love you.
Now that was NC State analysis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not this week in NC State. No,
forget it.
Yeah, oh, pickles,
pickle farts. Oh, rat crackers.
How many
games tonight?
How many years do you think Dave Doran has been at NC State?
19.
Eight.
This is year 11.
What
the fuck?
Yep.
That's the most. I have a total amnesia when it comes to Dave Doran, and that's by design.
That's how he does it.
How many memories of his tenure do you have? Like, two?
Because
one.
Because it's not ever.
One. I have one.
Because it's not ever Dave Doran based. It's always like, oh, NC State did a crazy Clemson right. upset again. Right. It's always like that program, maybe more than any other. Like, you know, we talk about all the time how, like, coaches change our perception of a program and how, like, we loved Texas A&M for a while and now it's like, haha, Jimbo factory. But NC State does not ever appear to have been, in my memory at least, like, overwhelmed by the personality of their coach.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if, like, NC State somehow hired Dion.
I feel like
they
Chuck,
did hire
Chuck
Dion.
Amato
His name was Chuck Amato.
Yeah, I was gonna say yeah. Chuck Amato.
If we were back in the days where we could go to media days with Chuck Amato,
man,
because he was
what a leathery dude.
In those old CBS clips you can find from like the early aughts media days, one of the things they had them do every year was. They had all the players do imitations of the coaches, And then they had the coaches do imitations of the players. And the only one who I remember being gung-fucking-ho about it every year was Chuck Amato.
Couldn't wait.
Yeah. Like, I guess they're making fun of my voice.
I have one clear...
We had a Brady Hoke request for Ryan last night. I can't remember where it was.
I have one clear, one absolutely wonderful memory of Dave Doran's tenure at NC State.
Is it the Notre Dame game?
No, it was... Although that is... Listen,
see,
that's,
even that's not Dave Doran. That's a Notre Dame thing. That's a Brian Kelly thing.
Yeah. Right. So it was the NC State versus North Carolina rivalry game in 2021, where the fourth quarter featured like nothing but haymakers, including Emeka Emezi catching like an absolute bomb to win, and Mac Brown looking like somebody had just pulled his heart plug, like just absolutely drained all the life force from him. It was magnificent.
Hey, we got a message from Russ. He says, I'm currently a server at a fine dining steakhouse in a casino in Biloxi. That is a story, Russ. Mm-hmm. And one of my tables tonight was a couple from Minnesota. Exact same voices you guys use. Best table all night.
He's been there in Biloxi?
Yeah.
It's great down there. So fucking hot. Oh.
We have a lot of votes, by the way, in favor of resurrecting these voices in as Iowa hot dog dads. People really seem to like that.
The hot dog dads and their ladies would have a magnificent time.
Deb!
On the Gulf Coast.
Deb, the drinks are free!
Don't have another one, we'll find you face down in the fucking water! Jesus, she's tanked!
What the fuck, dude?
Can I share with you the tale of the Connecticut lasagna bear?
Oh.
Please do, while I pull up this quiz on the states with the 10 most venomous snake bites.
This comes from Barkhamsted, Connecticut, where a bear broke into someone's house and decided to open up the freezer, and specifically, it was one of those lower freezers, the pull-out kind, opens the freezer like a human would, and takes a bag of frozen lasagna into its jaws, and then uses the freezer drawer as a step stool to get out of, like, the kitchen window back to the deck.
That's complicated motion planning.
It's complicated. I don't know how the bear, like, the bears must be telling each other, this is where the humans keep the lasagna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only possible explanation, is that there is some sort of bear community where they crave lasagna, and they have worked together to identify where to find it and where to get out.
And because you're smelling something right now that is, in theory, if this is a commercial lasagna, you're smelling something that is A, frozen, B, vacuum sealed,
yes,
C, inside a sealed cardboard box, D, inside a rubber sealed metal freezer.
I think this was from a restaurant, so it was leftover, so it's not that sealed, but it's still frozen and in a bag, and inside a freezer.
Inside a sealed, with gaskets around it.
Is it possible that when bears claim they're hibernating, they're actually on computers?
Oh, we're just online.
They have social media, or at least message boards.
Yeah, that's why they look so miserable when they come out for the spring.
You should look refreshed.
Oh,
and
God,
it's like, no,
I've been online for 6 months. I've okay.
I've been having a
I've been
forum
arguing
fight.
About the dumbest goddamn shit for six whole months.
I had this forum fight with a guy about how many days a week you could work out.
How many months
the
can a bear sleep?
They are alive.
Did they fire Jimbo yet?
Yeah, bears. Yeah. not yet.
Fuck, I'm going back in.
How much lasagna do we have to get together to fire Jimbo? How much lasagna to pay Jimbo to go away?
All right, listen, I got four pans. That's all I got right now.
This is part of the Shutdown Fullcast inspirational how-to book called Be the Bear, which is how to survive the travails of life by being more bear-like. Are they not going to fire your coach for another year? Go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Go to
hibernate.
Sleep. Steal a frozen lasagna and go to sleep.
Go break into someone's house.
What? I think my advice to A&M fans is just sleep off the Jimbo.
Yeah. It's not going anywhere. He's not going to leave. You're not going to leave.
You're
going
to get 7-year nap.
Right.
Well.
Take it. Go do something else.
So, the thing I like about when you Google Jimbo buyout, you never have to worry about, like, oh, this article's, like, a year old. It's like, nope, every week somebody's got a new Jimbo buyout article.
And it's never like according to this report. It's always like, no, we all know the number. We all memorized it.
Right. Like at some point, like this number sharded super huge, but obviously they've been paying him as they go. At some point, the number becomes like just kind of dumb and not crazy dumb.
Mm-hmm. And that's when they strike.
And like, well, here's my thing. If I'm A&M, I'm calling the Fed and I'm like, look, we owe Jimbo Fisher a fixed amount of money, right?
Hello, Mr. Fed.
If we can, against your wishes, drive inflation to crazy amounts, like, yes, you owe right now the number is $76.8 million, which is still so much money. But if we enter a period of hyperinflation where the dollar plummets by to like a tenth of its value, now you really only owe him $7.68 million. And that's totally doable. And if I'm an A&M booster, that's my move. I say, yes, the global economy will have to take some punishment, but Jimbo Fisher won't be the head coach at Texas A&M anymore. And I think that's probably worth it.
And if the economy is bad for the Aggies, that sounds bad, but it has an upside because it's also bad for the Longhorns. So Longhorns will be sad, so therefore it's worth it.
Yeah.
So can I give you an outside? This is where I play fake lawyer, and Ryan, I'm going to ask you to play slightly more real lawyer. Okay.
Okay, sure. Not going to take offense to slightly. It's not like I went to school for it and did it for Ryan, 6 years.
Why don't you pretend that you know some things about law? Just pretend. I know,
Ryan,
you don't.
I'm being a fake lawyer by not putting you in the position of being a legally sanctioned attorney.
That's
at
fair.
The moment.
I appreciate that.
There you go. I'm looking out for you.
Thank
here.
You.
Although in Tennessee, I'm pretty sure you could just be like, I'm an attorney. And they're like, come on in. Do you want a powdered wig and a gun?
Yeah, I think they just shoot you.
The gun is the gun is powdered as well.
Like a donut. Delicious. So could A&M do this? Mm-hmm. Could A&M stiff Jimbo, and then when Jimbo sued for payment, cite sovereign immunity to avoid paying him? because this has happened before.
Yeah.
The recently departed Mike Leach did not receive over $1 million in back pay from Texas Tech because sovereign immunity was cited as the defense when Texas Tech went to the court, because Texas has a law that says they may not sue for payment from the state without legislative consent.
That is,
and I know that legislature, there's enough Aggies where we could make this happen.
I think you're right. I think like that's on the board at least. It will at least delay things sincerely to make that happen.
And if you're the next coach at A&M, you're like, pay me up front. just give me everything up front. 100%.
A&M gives Bill Belichick $100 million cash.
And then Belichick skips down to Singapore.
And then he retires.
I think the other option is file for bankruptcy and reincorporate and be like, oh, that's Texas A&M old LLC that owes you that money, and they don't exist.
That's not us. We don't even know those guys.
Yeah.
That was Texas A&M College Station. We have renamed our town. So
yeah. So I think there's a lot of options. Absolutely. Like destroy the global economy, rely on the Texas legislature, rename the school entirely into a new entity. Yeah, everything's on the board here.
Yeah. Can I also entice with offshore, because Texas A&M already has an engineering school in Doha, Qatar.
Oh,
okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll work. Like, I think really what we're landing on here is if Texas A&M doesn't fire Jimbo Fisher this year, it's because they don't want to, and because they don't have the drive or the passion for football.
Would it be even more insulting to them to say, because they can't afford it?
Yeah, that'd be more insulting. Yeah.
I don't think they can do it because they're too poor.
They have to read those articles, right? They have to read every article that's like, well, this buyout is just no man could muster this amount of money.
No one has lived a high quality enough life to be able to pay this buyout.
Like,
one through their own initiative and skill
and hard work and bootstrappingness.
No one has worked hard enough to get rid of Jimbo.
Like, buyouts are to Texas A&M boosters what I think like Eat the Giant Burger challenges are to college students.
Yeah. Another very Texan tradition.
What do you mean I can't eat 10 pounds of ground beef? Says who?
The best part is they gave themselves this challenge.
Yeah.
That means they wrote on the wall, there is no motherfucker alive who could eat this burger. And then they left, came back, sat down, and said, fuck you, bring me that burger.
Yes.
Do you just get the feeling that they're going to wake up and somebody from the alumni court will have extended him based on this dare alone? Like, if I was Jimbo, I would be doing nothing but astroturfing every single social media outlet and community portal that they engage with, right? I'd hire actors to sit in the booster suites and be like, you know what I heard? I heard that we were all too big of a bitch to give him another $30 million.
You know what I heard? I heard the Longhorns want to extend their coach for $50 million. They think that's a big number out there.
Is it weird? And maybe I'm forgetting one. But I feel like whenever there are coaches who, like, you're sort of like, they might want to move on or they might want to be done with them or whatever. Inevitably, there's, and this has happened with Jim Harbaugh both in good times and bad times, so maybe it's the wrong example, where they're like, I don't know. The Vikings are really interested. The Broncos really want to talk to him, blah, blah, blah. I feel like Jimbo never, when this carousel starts up, there's never any like, this team really wants to, I don't know, maybe it's going to happen. Like, is he just like, you guys are going to fucking pay me every dollar and I'm not even, I'm telling my agent to turn his phone off. I don't need to make phone calls.
Yeah, what does Jimbo's agent do?
That's a great question.
He sleeps.
It's earned.
Is he a Jimmy guy or is he something else?
I do not know.
I forget. I probably. But, like, I mean,
I know this is just Jimmy Orr.
I assume his agent brought this contract and was like, all right, here's the idea. $95 million over 10 years, fully guaranteed. And was like,
now, granted, there's no way they're going to go for
they're
it.
They're never going to go. What? They signed it? They just signed it? What are you talking about?
It was probably like, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to say $60 million guaranteed. Next thing I know, I had to beg them to stop throwing money at me.
This is an interesting thing, though, because you passed an exit I want to back up and hit.
Okay, sure.
Which is you never hear Jimbo for these things. That's true. You never hear Jimbo like, oh, man, you know, the Bears job's opening up. Let's put Jimbo there.
Jesus, that's depressing.
Yeah, I mean, you want somebody who can get you to a 14-10 game.
Oh, my
Jimbo
God.
Jimbo can get you a 14-10.
The first two picks, draft QBs, and ruin both of them. Mm-hmm.
Jimbo could finally be a self-contained ecosystem by drafting one of the quarterbacks that he developed into a moderately disappointing but well-moneyed
Jimbo
NFL
gets
those,
paid
that's
by
the
Jimbo.
Thing. That doesn't even happen anymore.
That's
a Florida State thing. He doesn't do that shit anymore.
No one has said that in earnest for nearly a decade.
Yeah.
Jimbo no longer gets them paid.
Jimbo got them paid.
Jimbo got Jimbo paid. That's it.
Jimbo cashed out.
Well, I just got to worry about me. That's what my therapist says. That's self-care.
Self-care king Jimbo Fisher.
Thank you, Aggies, for helping this fellow take care of himself.
Money corrupts, so I'm going to keep all of it and keep you safe.
It's sacrificial of me.
I think Batman, but for cash. I do this for everyone.
I'm like a black hole, just absorbing all the evil within myself.
I suck the poison money out of you, and that way you live.
But no one ever says that about Jimbo. But no one ever says that about Kirby either. Like,
but
no
it's
one ever,
almost it's
no
way, one. It's also way earlier.
No, but like generally speaking, you have a guy who won two national titles. If we were at any other point
the
in
last
history,
two.
Yeah, but nobody. Yeah. At this point,
yeah.
Given how young he is,
yeah.
There was in another era, somebody would have gone, I don't know, maybe he'll look at the pros.
Around this point at Saban Bama, there was a Texas thing.
Right.
Okay.
There was a Texas thing.
Sure.
Or like LSU.
There was like several years of jokes worth of a Texas thing. Mm-hmm.
There was at one point it was real-ish.
Right. Now, this is a paraphrase and a rephrasing of Spurrier's thing, where whenever anybody would bring up an NFL rumor with him, he would immediately knife Phil Fulmer by being like, how come y'all never talk about Phil? Oh,
that was such
which is why he's fucking brilliant, right?
How come Phil can't get an Arena League job, y'all?
No one ever calls him. Ain't that weird? But for real.
It's so unfair how they treat Phil Fulmer. How they just overlook his pair of achievements.
It is a little weird, though.
It would be easier if Johnny Majors got an NFL job and then Phil could take it from him, to be fair.
Well, sure is great to be coached here at the Arizona Cardinals. Ah! Out of the back!
Y'all ask me where I learned to stab people so enthusiastically.
And then he's there. He's a Cardinal for 30 years.
Yeah, that's... But, like, we never talk about Kirby like that. We never. And, like, I think that's not Kirby. I think that's just generally... People are a little gun-shy about hiring those guys.
Like, well, I think the thing with Kirby reason. Is, but, like, most people are aware he attended that university and played some sports there. So, like, they're aware of this... You know, other than if he ever decides to go NFL, this is the job for him. Like, I think most people know that. The funny thing is, hold on.
There is going to be one thing that tests that publicly. I'm not saying this is going to be
Auburn. Granted,
Mama's calling.
Like, I don't think people are prepared for when Nick Saban leaves Alabama. There is going to be a push from some segment of the Alabama fan base that's like, it's time to go. He has marinated sufficiently in
Athens. Time to pop him out of the little minor league oven.
That's right.
They've won last five titles. How are they less than you? What? We're Alabama. Of course they're less than us.
That there is absolutely going to be a segment of that fan base that does that. And I love them for it. I absolutely love them for
they're
it.
Like the long list of no's that's going to follow that from coaches who are like, no, not with a 10-foot pole. Yeah. No. Like. It's going to be a long
sure,
list.
You come in and you have like the most talented roster, but also if you go 11-1, you're fired.
Someone's going to do it. That's the best part, is that someone's going to be
Lane
like...
Lane Kiffin.
Mama's calling. Actually, that's more of a mommy's calling.
Yeah. Alabama's fan base says uppies.
Oh my God. Upsetting.
To go back briefly, the thing I think you're missing with Kirby is that to have rumors, specifically NFL rumors, swirling about you as a coach, it doesn't require a team to actually want to hire you. It requires you to get somebody in the media to say that a team is thinking about, like, that's all it is. And so if there are no NFL Kirby rumors, I assume that's because Kirby doesn't want NFL rumors.
Yeah, Kirby knows that'd be bad. Whereas Jim Harbaugh,
it wouldn't be hard. It wouldn't be hard. Like, do you think it would be hard the way this season is going to be like, oh, the Falcons are thinking about kicking the tires on Kirby Smart?
Arthur Blank would love
right?
to sell tickets.
That shit would be so easy to do.
Yeah. Actually, he wouldn't want to piss off most of his state sports fans. Never mind.
Yeah. Hey, folks. Do you want to go ahead and watch this Wario knockoff call 2-yard runs for Bijan Robinson and start a quarterback from the Bearcats? Like, that's a thing. No, you want to watch good Christian football. You want to watch Kirby
that's
Smart.
That's why you're going to hire Deion Sanders.
Yep. Oh, God.
Do you know how many fucking jerseys he would sell and then draft Shadur?
Also, prove it's a bad idea. Prove it's a bad idea.
I can't. There are no bad ideas when it comes to the Falcons.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very good, like, what could the Falcons do worse?
This?
Right.
So, might as well sell some shirts.
Like, Jim Zorn got an NFL job. Fucking Deion could get one? That's fine.
His name is already, like, on the goddamn stadium.
Right.
It's simultaneously very, 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 like, it's very difficult to get an NFL job. And yet the bar to entry is so low. It's a unique combination of things.
Brandon Staley was a coordinator at a level above FCS for 1 year before he became an NFL
Nathaniel
head coach.
Nathaniel Hackett got an NFL head coach job and now gets to laugh at Sean Payton doing worse than he did.
To be fair, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah, no complaints.
It's got to be great having Zach Wilson as your quarterback, because you'll be like, well, I made a good call.
I mean,
Did you see that call? It was fucking brilliant.
You got to separate the art from the artist.
Yeah. Did you see the brush I got? You see the brush I have to work with? Please. Van Gogh couldn't work with this thing.
It's a fruit roll up.
Yeah.
We're doing avant-garde football. So what?
Yeah. So you never, but like, I am amazed at who gets jobs and who does not. And that goes at every level, by the way. I don't want to be like the college fan who's sitting here like, obviously, we only hire the most enlightened dudes. Because Will, Will Muschamp has gotten two head coaching gigs.
That's two-time one after national Will champion, Muschamp. Will Muschamp. You fucking asshole.
That is
respect.
Member of the Kirby Smart Coaching Academy, Will Muschamp. You're looking at three.
I also think it's entirely possible we've gotten to the place with South Carolina where it's like, it doesn't matter. Will Muschamp, like, who cares? Well, is there any hire that you're going to be like, oh, shit, that man changed South Carolina football?
For better or worse?
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be 7-6 either way.
Yeah.
Well, right. Like,
and the most chaotic 7-6.
Yeah. Yeah, like Steve Spurrier goes there and he has the best stretch of anyone in modern history. And the second, actually, even before he leaves, right? His last year, it's like, where's the abyss? Whoop! We built a house right on the edge of it.
It's a little
it
bit
is.
Like saying,
Gulf Shores
did we pick the right astronauts for our mission to punch the sun? Like, it doesn't matter!
Disagree. Yeah, point taken.
In that case, you do want Will Muschamp, as it turns out.
I'm the guy for that!
Yeah. I hate it! It burns!
Always.
It burned my tummy when I was a baby.
It's always there.
I actually had a little cousin who used to do this. She would stand waist high in the surf. This was like during peak 24 age on television, which I'm sure she was not allowed to watch, but that's probably where she got. She would stand out and get to right where the waves would smack her in the face, and she would just yell, "Tell me who you were."
So she was interrogating Poseidon.
Uh-huh. Mm. On behalf of 68 Ventures.
Slippery Poseidon, bastard. I've come to bargain.
Just Will Muschamp negotiating with Poseidon. What's up, water nerd?
Are we still on the Rutgers topic, just to be clear?
Well, we're talking about weird guys at the beach,
okay,
for one thing.
Okay.
Yeah, at the shore.
This
is the
Rutgers episode, yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Listen, it's awesome what they've done. I love that Rutgers has decided that the path to success is to make the least Rutgers football possible. That they're like, nope, fewest plays, slowest pace, just get this over with.
Well, they're getting back to their best season ever, the first one, when they were at one point undefeated, right? Like, when they were playing a sport that was more rugby than football and probably more soccer than rugby. So, like, yeah, the less football there is, the better they'll do.
Ruckus.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute, because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So Take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Okay, do we want to talk about football this weekend? I don't care.
Oh, it's time to look at the fucking schedule.
Looking at their schedule tonight.
Yeah, we really, we should go ahead.
I actually do have a question about one of the games tonight. Has anybody actually watched Liberty?
No.
No.
Okay. I really don't want to start.
I watched them for 5 minutes.
Come on, Stockstill.
They just haven't played anybody interesting enough to take.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched Air Force either.
On Thursday, if you do want to watch one of the best teams in the nation that unfortunately cannot play for a championship, you can watch James Madison whoop up on Marshall.
Again, which we would
I don't know about whoop up on.
Yeah, Marshall's not bad.
That's a good game.
I say this because James Madison whoops up on everybody.
Well, granted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, that's a 4-point spread, pal.
Also, 4-point spread, I got JMU covered.
You don't just walk into Huntington. Also, that is Huntington after dark, which is a little bit backcountry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 15% back. It's like the juicy juice of back country.
15% back? No, my brothers.
Nah, we're going to get letters. Like juicy juice says it's they're 100% juice, you monster.
It's like Lexington Plus.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've subscribed to Lexington Plus.
Please don't.
I've made a serious error.
Please don't.
$3
Lexington is the scariest place in the SEC to play. I'm on record as saying this. Huntington is scarier. Not because of the football. Because of what's outside.
I think Penn State might probably beat Ohio State. I think
why?
They're tough.
Okay.
Ohio State's not all that tough, okay. I don't think.
Okay, I mean, I agree. That's what Lou Holtz said, and look what fucking happened.
I'm saying Lou Holtz is right. I just look at Ohio State, and it seems like we have the best player, so we're just going to throw the ball at him, whereas Penn State is just feel like they're good at a lot of stuff. So I'm taking the +4, I'll say that.
Okay.
I just hesitant to drop this too on Ohio State because I do have them as a playoff a puff pick. Don't threaten to behead me and stump fuck the remains. But Notre Dame aside, they ain't played nobody, and that Notre Dame game was very close.
But isn't that equally true of Penn State?
Yeah,
not
but
as true. I don't.
Whoa! Why? Because they played West Virginia.
They gave Iowa 31 points. That's actually 1,000 regular points.
I do think the Iowa game is where you want to look.
I am saying that I think that. Listen, I think that Penn State has played a marginally tougher schedule than has Ohio State.
I mean, beating West Virginia by 23 at the time, we thought that was nothing. I think we can upgrade that to something.
Ohio State is down to their 4th-string running back.
Yeah.
Is that still the case?
Yeah. Okay. How's this? Ryan Day said, we don't know when those guys will return, and I'm hopeful. So I'm going to translate for you that for you in coach speak, which is no. Like, they don't have – they're real thin at running back
also,
right
again,
now.
Also, again, I picked Ohio State as goofy as those. I'm going to lean on those now, even though they're real goofy. I have Ohio State down as a playoff team. I'm just going to pin this to my chest as a protective amulet. I just don't think this is necessarily a walk.
I'm not going to say this number is like...
I like Ryan Day a lot, and it would be hilarious to be wrong.
I'm not going to say this number is foolproof. ESPN's strength of schedule metric has Ohio State as 62nd. They have Penn State at 112th.
Never mind. Well, far be it for me to couch an in-house ESPN metric. In the
which one
context.
Are you looking at there?
The resume ranking, strength of schedule.
Oh, okay.
I will say this: there are way more easy answers for Penn State than there are for Ohio State. Ohio State basically has one thing that works for them on offense. It's a real good thing in the form of Marvin Harrison Jr. But at the same time, Ohio State doesn't have much else besides that. Penn State. I have two running backs. I have a good short to intermediate passing game with Drew Allert. We're fine punting and letting the defense pull you apart. I see this is one of those like, okay, what's the easier bet? The easier bet to get the short way from A to B is Penn State wins.
Ooh, who's got the car alarm?
That's a neighbor here. So the my favorite part to strength of schedule is remaining strength of the schedule. Of course,
Penn State number one.
Well, the three Big Ten East teams are all in the top 10 there because they all have yet to play each other. Yeah. Hey, Florida's number 5. That's Have fun with that.
Emotional question.
Number one is, good God, Michigan State.
Oh, no.
It'll get a lot worse.
I need to check myself here. Am I overrating Penn State because James Franklin hasn't done anything hilariously stupid?
Probably.
Season? I think he's solved.
Also,
he's
Penn due. State hasn't done the thing. Penn State hasn't had, at least that I can remember, the Ohio State-Indiana first half. The thing where you sort of look at it in the middle of a Saturday and you're like, what the hell is going on? Like, Penn State has not done that at all.
I haven't looked at Penn State at any point in the season and thought, get it together.
Right.
Whereas every time I have looked at Ohio
like,
State.
Like, they had a sloppy stretch against Illinois, but even then it was like, oh, no, they're only leading like 20-0 or something.
So my analysis is very vibes.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, the power ratings are all close. And, like, you could say the matchups favor this or that.
If you want to watch the ugliest football imaginable, look no further than scoring defense to tell you how this is going to go in the Big Ten, because the top three scoring defenses in the nation are number one, Michigan, with 6.7 points a game.
Good
Penn
Lord.
State is second at 8 points a game, and Ohio State is third with 9.7. So something's either got to give or we are going to be watching a headbutting competition
and
on Saturday.
I feel like that is entirely possible given what Penn State and Ohio State games have frequently turned into.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last time Penn State won this game, they won it on a blocked field goal return.
Yeah.
That's not offense. It's cool, but it's not offense.
Hey, those are difference makers, Ryan. Those are playmakers.
That's what Iowa says. Everybody's Iowa in the end.
We're just devolving to Iowa. You put one Iowa in the bucket and everyone turns to Iowa.
I just love the total logjam, the Big Ten East. You have three quite possibly, at least playoff quality teams. We'll see whether they end up playoff worthy.
Yeah.
But fucking Iowa is going to the conference title game.
Again, yep. Rutgers is going to have something to say about that. You'll see.
That might not be enough.
No, you're right. It might just
10-2 Iowa.
Oh, now Iowa won the tiebreaker against Wisconsin instead of the outright.
So stupid.
Yeah, you're probably
so right. I saw the question posed, how much money would Fox pay right now to cancel Big Ten divisions? And like, it's got to be tens of millions of dollars.
Uh-huh.
The TV rating between like Ohio State, Michigan round two, or Michigan, Penn State, or whatever round two versus Iowa.
Ugh. What were the? How would this have changed in the old makeup, the old legends and leaders? I forget.
No one remembers which ones those were.
Yeah.
Nebraska.
I remember
advance.
We had like mimal style mnemonics to keep up with all of them, and I don't even remember any.
Okay,
yeah.
I've never had
a problem with Atlantic and Coastal, but
it would have been far better because the leaders, you would have had Ohio State, Penn State. So this game would have basically been for winner of the leaders division. And then on the other side, the leaders of the legends, thank God they got rid of this fucking nomenclature, would have been Michigan eventually playing Iowa.
Because they did the ACC logic thing. They split Ohio State and Michigan.
Yes.
Like the ACC did with Miami and FSU,
right.
Which
has totally
ended
worked.
Up being much of a problem.
Has totally, totally worked. Yes.
Turns out resolved itself.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's going to be playing at the same time, and you could watch if you want to watch a real football game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
That's right. Rutgers, Indiana, baby. Woo! Win six for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
It should be. It really should be. Like,
It really should be.
Indiana, my God.
Better be.
Yeah,
like,
it's
could Texas... Bad. I understand that Texas A&M may balk at the amount of money it takes to fire Jimbo Fisher. Could Texas A&M get the money together to fire Tom Allen for Indiana?
That's a huge number.
It's a lot of money for Indiana. It's like
I heard A&M was too broke to fire Indiana's coach.
Like, I heard the Longhorns are going to help the Aggies fire Indiana's coach if the Aggies don't step
up. And you can, like, I don't know if you can call a buyout a tax write-off, like a charitable donation, when it's to your own school. You could probably do it when it's for another school. You could probably get that taken off your taxes if you're like, yeah, I gave Indiana University $8 million so they could start to pay off Tom Allen.
Think of the NIL ramifications. That's actually a thought I had earlier today, and I'm sure lots of other people have had it, but I haven't encountered it, is so we have a slow coach firing year to this point. The two that are gone are because of off-field incidents that sort of gave the school the ability to fire those guys for free. But we haven't seen any football specific firings that have registered. And you know, in recent years, at this point, we'd have like 2, 3, 4,
yeah,
five.
Right. Yeah.
And part of it could be circumstantial. It could just be like, oh, if this game had flipped the other way, you know, that guy would be gone or whatever. Part of it could just be like, well, he had a bunch of busy years, so this year it'll take a little more time to get going. You know, we'll likely end up with about 20 at least, because that's what we have every year. But like, I do wonder if there are boosters who are like, if we fire this guy, that's 6 years of our NIL fund. Like, is it possible that allowing players to receive money has in a very roundabout way at least put a little bit of a damper in the minds of some of the people who were making the coach money stupid?
Wouldn't that be interesting?
I think it at least it creates an alternative, because before it's like, well, you either give this money for this or for not, or for a facility, and who fucking cares about mm-hmm. that? But now if you're sort of like, we can ask you for $5 million for this, or we can ask it for this collective, which Ole Miss assures us is not involved with recruiting.
That would be ridiculous.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. Why would it possibly be connected to recruiting? It's about rewarding. Like, it's different.
Yeah. Psychologically, too, it's like you're paying to... Do you want to pay for the absence of something, or do you want to pay for something the benefits of which you might see in front of you in the next couple
of years.
Yeah,
I love it. It's in a way, it's more hopeful, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, but you have to remember...
I mean, I get being mad enough to pay to have something disappear.
Yeah, remember, the rich are all about feelings, Paul, because money's been removed from the equation,
right? No,
that's what
I'm saying. I think this is relevant.
Either you give to someone you like, or you give to someone you hate, right?
Who has the dragon energy to be like, yeah, I hate that fucker. I'll write a check.
Texas A&M does. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Also, another rich person calculus in here. You know, I gave X number of money to this coach and he doesn't listen to a thing I say. Mm-hmm. You know, player calls me sir, shakes my hand,
mm-hmm.
says thank you for the car dealership deal, sir. Mm-hmm.
And also, you can point at the TV screen. I've hired that guy.
Right.
That player who
hey,
that touchdown.
Hey, I bought that one.
I did that touchdown.
I funded that touchdown. I cut the ribbon on that touchdown.
I bet there have been some real uncomfortable, like, linguistic adjustments that these had. That one's one of mine.
I assure you that's not new at all, though, so that's fine.
Yeah.
No, that's very true.
It's more out loud.
Scythought, by the way, one of us should become a private investigator to dig up dirt on coaches, because I know that's a business
that's
where somebody...
Godfrey.
Yeah, we're describing Godfrey.
Okay, well, Godfrey needs to open a sideline.
He's too tall, though. He can't skulk.
Yeah, no.
He's the stealthiest 9 foot tall man in the world.
If he doesn't get a haircut, we saw it worked with the Bama crowd.
Mm. Are we making fun of Godfrey for being tall? This is my favorite turning his strength into a weakness.
Too. It's disgusting.
It's how he got sex, so we're allowed to make fun of him for it.
You fucking tall ass nerd.
Fucking tall and virile with a beautiful family.
Yeah. Enjoy being less safe due to your height.
Inexplicably adores him.
Yeah. Bet your shadow is real long. You got like way too much fucking shadow.
Less sick.
Shadow.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
I'm going to hit you so fast it's going to take longer for the sensation to reach your brain, and then I'll run away.
Here, Godfrey, this one's for you. Holly, how do you feel about Tennessee-Alabama?
Calmer than I've felt in years.
Okay.
Sorry, right. Godfrey. Couple factors here. I mean, do you want to know?
I do. I truly do.
It's a big game. We'd better talk about
it. Sure, not in dispute, but a couple of factors here. Losing to Florida is such a part of my body clock that it kind of signals my biorhythms to relax for the rest of the season. Like, yes, the Florida game was lost in an incredibly stupid fashion. Everything is proceeding as it should. And I think I'm fairly chill heading into this one because I'm not sure, apart from a Tennessee blowout of Alabama, I'm not sure there's anything that would surprise me on the scoreboard. You know, we were listing types of games on Saturday night that Colorado has had, and I think all of them are probably in play, apart from humiliating Nebraska. I think all of them are probably in play on Saturday. I can't imagine an outcome that would upset me. It's not like we're unused to losing on blown calls. But I'm interested in like an anthropological. This is like I have like a calm interest in like an anthropological sense of, well, let's see what this thing does. And Tennessee's hurt, man.
Sure.
Down Brew McCoy and an O-line that can't stay healthy.
Down Brew McCoy, sure. I think, is hurting much more than I
fucking
think anybody
hell, man.
Has
I hated
about.
That so much. Yeah. I hate that so much.
Because you need one guy to stretch things vertically, and they don't have one guy.
Squirrel White can sometimes, but it's not the same.
There's also like a big misconception that I think that people are toting around. About Joe Milton that I was talking about on a different podcast last night. What would you say, the Florida game? Joe Milton is an ancient. He's on his 17th college football trip. What number start would you say the Florida game was for Joe Milton?
Maybe 11?
I want to say it was like 9.
Yeah, I know. Like,
he's been around forever, but in terms of actually leading, of actually like managing an entire game, he's not that experienced.
Because he only started maybe 2 games at Tennessee before he lost the starting gig.
Right, and I think that the plug and playness of the offense, and kind of obscured the fact that also. There is no such thing as like swapping in another Jalen Hyatt. If there were, everybody would have figured out how to do it. I love the little three-headed running back game we've got going here, but center's not healthy. And that's a really, really, really good, like cerebral, center that we've got there in Mays, and I don't know. I don't know that they are healthy enough to be super confident headed into this game, but I don't know. I'm not that worked up about it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. I'll get this is one of those years where I'm like, okay, Florida, okay, Bama. I'm going to be on the ceiling for Kentucky. I'll be on the ceiling for Missouri. I'm on the ceiling for the snake bite games at this point. Sure. Like I'm gonna be crawling the walls for Mizzou and Kentucky.
I don't even know if Mizzou counts as a snake bite game at this point.
No, you know? Jesus Christ,
yeah,
no.
They might be ranked higher.
I don't want to lose to that fucker.
Let's see
him.
If they can hold you to less than 300 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I like Nick. I don't want to lose to Eli.
That's fair.
Now
but yeah, we'll see.
Can I talk to you about a game that that we'll have all of us on the ceiling? No. That's good.
Is it the Gatorade Fast Twitch game of the week?
Yes. My God. The Minnesota-Iowa total. Have y'all seen this number?
Hot damn, I have not.
It cannot be 40. It cannot 30, be 40.
37?
Come on now. 37?
It's like 32.
Let's guess.
Bring it down.
32 and a half.
20.
Bang! 32 and a half. That is an Army Navy number.
Dang.
That like it is within range of 30. Man. And
those
like it gives
numbers.
Me hope.
Lower.
That's a giant. That's New York Giants, Las Vegas Raiders.
That's Giants like scrimmage against itself numbers. But like it gives me hope. There was a couple years ago in Army Navy when there was a concerted effort among online people to bring the total below 30 points. I really think Iowa Nebraska can get there. Like day after a holiday, short week, it might be snowing, who knows. Like I think we can do it. But this one is
And this is on NBC?
Game.
Good God.
Yep.
What happened in the cable industry?
So Notre Dame fans are going to tune in expecting to see their usual boring propaganda. They will see boring.
They should just have both announcers talk about how much better Notre Dame
is.
Oh,
my God. Are we
going to
get J.A.C. Collinsworth and Jason Garrett calling this shit?
It stands for Jards After Catch, okay?
Hang on, for real. What network is this on?
It's on NBC.
It's on NBC.
Oh, man.
I wasn't making that up.
These are the two most boring teams and the two most boring announcers.
Indiana.
I am so excited for this shit.
Indiana really
Wait,
has
no, they'll
a
have,
claim
Won't they have
to that,
Collinsworth but... on the Michigan-Michigan State that night?
Yes, probably. Who's
so
all right.
Look this up.
It's very funny that if he's their A1 announcer, if that's
well, either
the logic.
Well, either we get a mid-afternoon nap or we get a...
Good bed early.
Or we get a late night nap.
Full cast before dinner.
This is the difference between napping or just going to sleep.
Breakfast full
no,
cast.
We have air... Oh, no, sorry. That's not this year.
Is...
Why don't I see the broadcast team listed anywhere?
Is this
Are
the...
Are you hiding it?
To jump to that...
I would hide it.
Is this the most, like, bloodthirsty Michigan has been to play Michigan's... Like, there is a sense, at least amongst online Michigan... That they're like, oh, we could win this game by 70 if we want to.
I think that's probably true.
Like,
it's really a matter of will. They just have to decide.
And there
what
have
the
been previous
is.
Years where they've felt like that, and then shit.
Right.
But I don't really anticipate that this time.
Like, I think given, listen, Michigan State is not going to do a lot to help Michigan's strength of schedule at this point. But given what
gotcha,
the perfect crime.
I think Michigan would be well suited to go ahead and try to put up 70 on Michigan State. I don't think it would be a problem. I don't think it'd be a bad thing to try.
How's this? I don't think they're going to have to pass to do it.
Oof,
I think they can. Yeah. They can take as few chances as possible and still rack up a very, very substantial number. Yeah. Remember, by the way, this was I wrote about this in the newsletter, but the usage for JJ McCarthy is. So much lower than for any other starting quarterback of note for like a top 10 or a top 15 team. He's thrown something like 50 fewer passes than any of his peers. You know, like Carson Beck for all of the, he's inexperienced and they've got kid gloves on him. They let him throw. They let him throw safe things, but he hasn't thrown for fewer than 30 passes. McCarthy, I'm pretty sure, hasn't thrown for 30 passes this year.
McCarthy is of qualified of on CFB stats of qualified passers who've thrown enough to sort of get on the rankings here. He is 100th in the nation with 20.3 pass attempts per game.
Perfect. And that's barely qualified then.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Yes.
That's right above.
Yes.
The
that's like we had to stretch it to include him.
Yeah, if you have Blake Corum,
score right.
That's right. That's an A++.
So he's second in passer rating while throwing the absolute bare minimum number of passes. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's the formula, y'all. It's 1989.
I mean, whatever it takes.
Yes. If you have Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum, I do not blame you. And that offensive line.
I think I'm not going to watch Ole Miss Auburn because I just
seems good for you.
You know, that's a personal matter that I don't need to be involved in.
I mean, they're going to talk about Hugh Freeze the whole time,
right? So. And we don't need to do that. And then they're going to talk about how Lane didn't take the Auburn job the whole time.
That part was fun.
Yeah, this is
but
between
I mean,
y'all.
It already happened.
This is between y'all. Like I don't go to family court for fun. And I'm not going to watch Ole Miss Auburn.
Y'all settle it and text me a score. Yeah.
Right?
Inoffensive broadcast team for the Iowa-Minnesota game, by the way. It took me that long to pick it up. It's Paul Burmeister, Anthony Heron, and Zora Stevenson.
Okay.
Entirely acceptable.
Do your best, y'all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck out there.
I'm sorry to y'all that you have to
I'm not gonna say
stand
have
for
fun.
This.
No, you shouldn't.
But I think this how is about your, hang in there?
I think this is your only chance.
Hunker down.
We'll see you once you're out.
I think this is the only chance to hear Burmeister not calling Notre Dame because he's their radio announcer.
That's probably right.
Oh.
The only time you get to hear him call a college football
game
this year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to listen to Notre Dame.
It's what we call an annular eclipse, but for announcers.
This week we have the General Sherman game, Army LSU. LSU this time. Neither of these teams will be going to Atlanta. Let's just say it. Let's just put it that way.
This feels like it could, like, we all obviously remember the Army-Oklahoma game from yesteryear. Broadcast via feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 30-point spread.
This feels like it has the potential.
That's
to
tantalizing.
Oklahoma won that game, but this feels like it has the potential with the way LSU's defense has looked at many times this season to just be like, oh my God, it's been 15 minutes and Army's still on the field. What the fuck?
So you're saying that this is reminiscent of a Lincoln Riley game where a defense underperformed and an offense was unable to pull away due to the overall disorganization of the
team. I mean, they eventually, but even then it was like Oklahoma didn't fail on offense to pull away. They just failed to get the ball. It was just a matter of like not having possession.
Yeah, like Jaden Daniels is going to be perfect.
Right.
He's going to get 11 passes.
Right. Like, LSU is going to have 5 possessions, and they'll probably score on all of them.
Get to 35, Army. That's what we're saying. Get to 35 and go for two. That's the plan. Yeah, there's no need, by the way. My favorite bugbear about this game, by the way, is any Auburn discussion.
Oh, okay. We're going back.
Yeah, for any Auburn discussion, Alex Kirshner has my favorite point, which he goes, you know, you don't have to be this bad on offense.
Auburn? After the way...
That's a perfectly valid...
After the way the predecessor at that school recruited, that might not be true for this year.
You don't know, there's a number of different teams you can point to where you go, you're not this bad. You're not, you might be bad, but you're not Auburn bad. I know.
All bad.
I know. It's less not acknowledging their difficult roster situation and more pointing out that even with the points that you do have, you're not doing a whole lot with them.
There is like a level of, and I think Auburn's coaches have talked about this, like there's a level of stubbornness to like, we're trying to do a specific thing, even though we don't necessarily have the roster to do that thing. Mm-hmm. And there is a tension right now of like, should we just like dumb it way down and just stick to like the 8 plays that work more or less? And maybe.
Yeah. That's probably what you should do.
I'm not seeing a downside.
You don't seem to run any of them real well.
Yeah, I mean, Utah hasn't had their starting quarterback all year, and they're 5-1, so, like...
Figure it out?
Yeah,
it seems like... Also, if you're talking about that publicly, that's weird. You'd be like, well, you know, there's actually... Because what you're saying implicitly is, you know, there's something more effective we could be doing. Mm-hmm. But... Why would you say that out loud?
This is off topic. We just noticed a really funny thing in SP Plus. I was looking for Auburn, so I control F 3-3. the best 3-3 team is UCF at number 30. The computers have a 3-loss UCF at number 30. What a turnaround from previous years.
That has to be a thing where the Baylor game is weighing heavy on that, right? Because the computer sees that and it is like, but UCF won so much of this game. Right? That's not what happened.
58 minutes. They have 58 minutes of quality football here.
Yep.
This is a game that I have my eye on. Duke at Florida State.
Oh, wow. What a discerning choice.
ACC championship rematch.
So I didn't say discerning.
On ABC.
So you're taking a look at the game Kirk Herbstreit is calling. A little fella by the name of...
Hey.
Well, no, he's right. With Kirk in the booth, we would naturally be repelled from watching this game, as would most of our audience, because they're smart, discerning media consumers. So I applaud Spencer for something, I'm sure.
This is Spencer the sommelier being like, have you tried Yellowtail wine before?
Listen, have you had...
Oh, man.
Have you had Night Train?
Oh, Yellowtail Herbstreit.
For you, I think Coca-Cola.
The Mad Dog.
That's what he told the stylist in his highlights. He was like, give me the Yellowtail Chardonnay.
I was more thinking, why are we paying attention to an ACC game in primetime? But here we go.
Dog, it's Duke football.
Yeah.
How in the world?
Hell yes, Duke
America
football.
America craves more Duke football.
It's also
a second night game on national television.
You're missing the funniest part of this, though. There are two ACC night games going on, and ABC picked this one. Do you know what the other one is?
Clemson, Miami.
No thanks. The conference network can have that one. Get that shit out of here. Give me Duke.
And it's not even like either school could be like, oh, thanks for fucking this up for us, other guy. You both did this.
You're in this together, knuckleheads. Let's note technically the second most important ACC game of the window is happening on the motherfucking CW, Virginia, North Carolina. I don't care. It's the UNC is going to win by a million unless they do UNC stuff, but it's on the CW.
Well, they had to put on the CW. More people get that than ACC.
Well, this is maybe the game the game all season, possible exception NC State, that has the highest concentration of locations where they actually film CW shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like Charlottesville.
Where is Seventh Heaven set?
I want most of them get shot in Wilmington. I'm not sure about Seventh Heaven. Like, I don't know where they're
California.
Set. Most of them get,
okay.
Most of them get shot in Wilmington.
Yeah, One Tree Hill was a Wilmington production.
Dawson's Creek was a Wilmington. But like, I think Vampire Diaries filmed in Charlottesville.
Spencer, can you say Vampire Diaries as Mac Brown, please?
My personal journal.
Vampire Diaries.
That sounded like
really
Spencer.
He didn't really try. It's fine. It's fine.
You gotta lead it.
I need a warm up.
How about
Mac.
Tonight? You need a ramp. All tonight right. on the CW.
Hi everybody. This is Coach Mac Brown. Tonight on the CW, we've got the Vampire Diaries.
How about can you give me Veronica Mars?
Veronica Mars.
That's better. No. That was a little better. Mm.
You're not supporting all the way through. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll work on this.
Veronica Mars.
Veronica Mars.
As zombie.
What is an iCarly?
Only on the CW. Grandfather of the Martian Manhunter.
I don't approve of the antics these Dawson's Creek kids are getting up to with their over-the-clothes stuff.
America's Funniest Animals. Next. On the CW. The Clemson-Miami game, by the way, has real potential for fuckery because Clemson is bad in the red zone, and Miami is bad at everything that has to do with political junctures in the game. So, this could be a very frustrating game in terms of Miami being like seconds away from finishing them and being unable to, and then Clemson getting to like the 3-yard line and struggling badly.
Clemson's defense is quite good. Like, it's gone unnoticed because the record isn't that
great. Tyler Van Dyke's hurt.
Like, Clemson's defense is playing very well this season, and I think Miami is still an organizational mess, and I think this is more likely...
No.
I think this is more likely to be like, oh boy, Clemson kicked a lot of field goals, but it didn't matter because Miami just couldn't score.
It feels like you might look at this at the end and go, 27-6?
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
100%.
27-8?
Yeah.
Two made field goals doesn't feel like the way that happens. A missed extra point feels like the way that happens. I was counting return.
Yeah.
I was going 9 field goals. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 9 field goals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
1 for 9. I feel confident in saying I would bet a lot of money that if there were 9 field goals kicked by the Clemson kicking staff, they would go 1 for 9. It's really bad this year.
Yeah.
At what point would you stop sending a kicker out, and then at what point would you let them ride? At 1 for 5, do you pull them? But if it's like 1 for 6, you're just like, keep going.
I think I stopped kicking it. 1 for 3, we're not kicking anymore.
Hmm. Stern.
But kicking's like the easiest part of the video game, so like that's usually not a problem for me strategically.
You just
I don't have a lot of experience to pull from.
Hey, I got a quiz. Mm-hmm. friend of the program, Michael Braves and Birds, has a quiz. It's on Sporkle. 10 states with the most venomous snake bites.
Can I ask Oklahoma. A clarifying question?
Is it per capita?
Do you mean the highest number of venomous snake bites or the snake bites that are the most venomous in quality?
Do you know it doesn't? 10 U.S. states that have the most venomous snake bites per year. Updated 2023 data does not look like per capita is taken into consideration.
Right, so Oklahoma, total regardless.
Bite. Total bites.
Hang on. We're going to go clockwise around the window as I see it. So Jason Serber, Ryan Spencer. Okay. Jason, you want Oklahoma?
I mean, if it's not per capita, I guess we have to go Texas.
Okay. Texas, your answer?
Yeah.
Let's see. Play quiz. Texas.
Well, you tell
Texas is the highest, 1408.
Okay, so it's probably not per capita.
Server, your pick.
Arizona.
Arizona. 102, false. Mm. Population density probably got you there. Yeah. Ryan.
Give me Florida.
Let's see, Florida, 350. Green. Spencer.
Georgia.
530.
Whoa!
Interesting.
Get after it, Georgia.
Back to Jason.
I ain't scared.
I mean, California's got a lot of people.
Yeah. 221, California indeed. I think they should have done this per capita. Serber. Yeah. So far, we're 4-1.
Yeah.
Brutal.
As the Clemson member of the group, let's go 4-2. Colorado.
Colorado. Oh, no, only 41.
Now, those mountain snakes are particularly horrifying.
So I'm also trying to think about places where snakes will be out more. Mm. Like Colorado feels too cold.
Emboldened snakes.
Yeah. I would take Alabama were I you, just knowing about the rattlesnakes.
I would like to take Louisiana here.
Mm. All right. Louisiana, 334. Almost as many as Florida. Spencer.
I'm going to take a place where people are often in contact with the outdoors. West Virginia.
So small.
No. 210. Too small. Ooh, trailing California.
I'm going to go. Am I up next?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I'm going North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yes. Oh, wow. North Carolina, 856.
Bang. They got hot trees. They got woods.
Dang.
North Carolinians are just like, see snake, touch snake.
that's going out looking for it. That's like, what did you do tonight? You're like, thought we'd go snaking.
Hold on. What was the Florida number?
350.
And what was the North Carolina number?
856.
Yes. North Carolina, yeah. I mean, you cannot be getting twice as many venomous snake bites as Florida. You can't. Yeah, they're getting more.
When you're supposed to just twist your shirt around your head like a helicopter. Not a snake. That's
the problem. Yep, you take your shirt off and then you expose your underbelly to the snake.
Hi, I'm Petey Pablo for Wildlife Awareness Week.
There's a lot of charismatics in North Carolina.
Then you scare the shit out of everyone by waving it. Yeah, that's, yeah.
I'm having a very vivid memory all of a sudden from my wedding, what's the rehearsal dinner the night before, of my brother-in-law, and I'm in North Carolina for those who don't know, of my brother-in-law, there was a snake near us at the, because this was an outside thing. My brother-in-law just going, not even looking to see what type of snake it was, just saying, I don't think it's a copperhead, then picking it up.
For a closer look.
Taking it elsewhere and throwing it into the woods. So it really checks out.
Sure.
North Carolina snakes are like, God damn it, I'm being thrown again.
I personally have.
This is actually how I get around.
Gary, did you try biting them? I've bitten 10 North Carolina residents this week, and they keep throwing me.
They all have resistances.
All right, it's Cerber's turn?
I believe so.
Okay. How many more?
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the top 10.
Oh, okay. Right. So we have 4 to go. Okay.
Knock them all
then
out.
We have missed 3. Okay. We have missed 3 times. Okay. So let's see. We're gonna see how many guesses it takes to get to 10.
I gotta get one finally. South Carolina seems like the play.
I love
South Carolina. So we have, for context, we have Georgia at 530, North Carolina at 856.
Jesus.
South Carolina is entirely off the board at 184.
Wow, secret snakes.
You know what that is?
We don't gotta report this.
I was gonna say that's people who got bit but are like, I'm absolutely not telling anybody.
We don't gotta tell the fucking government how many snake bites we got.
No, I think
they'll know
the
our weaknesses.
I think it's the snakes being like, you don't wanna bite them because they'll get your bloodstream. Then you'll be crazy as fuck.
Okay, so not South Carolina.
So far, again, we've got...
let's go with Oklahoma, Jason's original.
I think it's
pick.
A good choice.
Yeah.
Not very... Not...
Oh, no. Oklahoma, 206.
Okay. Ugh.
Does that not make the cut?
It does not. California is 221.
Okay.
They don't show us on the list except that Texas is the highest, but California at 221 is the lowest one I've seen so far.
Okay, all right.
So that's close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spencer.
I'm gonna go. Let's go another place where people are close to the land. Louisiana.
We already said that.
We already guessed Louisiana.
I'm sorry, if I missed Louisiana. Then Arkansas.
Ooh. Arkansas, 307.
Nice.
On the board.
Nice
Ooh,
pick.
That's got to be a high per capita
nice
one.
Nice pick.
No, that has to be enormous.
Yeah.
There's like 20 people who've been bitten 300 times by snakes.
This is like the Secret Service agent in Biden's dog. It's just like 10 people.
You're like, well,
trying to befriend snakes.
If you take Earl out of that, we're like a bottom two.
Listen,
state.
The number goes up whenever Jerry Jones has a sex party here. There's nothing they don't have.
Why don't you pet it? They do weird snake shit.
All right, so there's 3 remaining states that have the highest snake bite instance per capita. We have California, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Georgia, Florida, and North Carolina.
Okay.
North Carolina.
North Carolina might outstrip Arkansas in population density snake bite, actually, maybe. Mm-hmm. Nah, I don't know about the triangle. Okay.
I was going to go Virginia, but after hearing that Arkansas number, I'm going Missouri.
Missouri, 234.
All right.
Looks to be slotting in right above California. Okay. All right, we got 2 more.
Come on, Cerber.
Serbs, bring it home,
Come
baby.
On, Cerber.
Just pointing out that I am in North Carolina, an absurd amount of snake bites here, and I've yet to correctly guess where the snakes are.
That's why North Carolinians keep getting bit.
Y'all got snake blindness.
That lizard's weird.
Has Mississippi been guessed yet?
No.
It has not.
Good pick.
Mississippi. Yeah, solid pick.
Mississippi, 236.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
I can't believe nobody's taken Alabama where they have rattlesnake rodeos.
Well,
every
so year. So this is my question. Do I go Alabama or do I go Tennessee at this point?
I think you. I think we now just gonna have to put you in the bad position of Ryan. Which state is dumber?
I think whoever you pick is winning the football game.
We do have one more. Oh yeah, this is for third.
All right, so I'll say Tennessee.
79. Wow, Tennessee actually does befriend.
Wow, that's
now Ryan. Those are the ones.
Tennessee fans
unreported.
No,
unreported.
That's just like I don't want to go outside. I don't want to go outside. I want to go to Puffy Muffin.
No, okay, that's Nashville.
Now you're from Middle Tennessee, baby.
Everywhere outside Nashville, it's us.
No, here's what's happening. West Tennessee is going to Arkansas and Missouri to get bit by snakes.
To get their snake bites.
And East Tennessee is going to North Carolina.
Yeah. Middle Tennessee is going to Puffy Muffin. East Tennessee is like, that's my accountant, Clarence.
East Tennessee is going over North Carolina because they're like, these Tennessee snakes, they're absolute like wimps. I need to go fight
these millennial Tennessee snakes.
Yeah. All they know is hot chips. So I need to go over and get these real ones. All
right, Spencer. They do not lie, though.
Spencer, you got to pick Alabama then, right?
I
hope there's some weird Midwestern state. I hope it's like, yeah, Michigan, fucking snakes.
I'm going to pick, you know what?
Snakes.
One more.
I'm going to actually go adjacent because I'm like, well, North Carolinians are evidently all about it, but there has to be some bleed over, so I'm going to go Virginia.
Okay. I think it's a good pick.
All right, Virginia, home of all of our nation's worst ideas.
Yeah.
Virginia, 217. Okay, Virginia is number 10. So in order, we have Texas is the runaway winner. North Carolina, a disturbingly short distance behind. Then a huge drop to Georgia. Then another huge drop to Florida. Small drop to Louisiana. Small drop to Arkansas. Slightly larger drop to the cluster at the bottom, which is Mississippi, Missouri, California, Virginia.
Now, I have just looked up the normalized per million rate.
Oh, yes, here okay. we go. Let's talk about Arkansas.
Real quick. I just want to note the three of the top four are Mac Brown states, Texas, North Carolina, Tulane.
Holy shit, you're right.
So,
who would know more about sucking life?
But by the way, these are all Lou Holtz states, the top three for highest bite rate. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, North Carolina does have the highest bite rate per million residents.
Beautiful.
157, which is a shocking number.
Light your head, baby.
Which means that, like, there's a pretty good, like, a pretty good chance that server, you know, multiple people who have been bitten by snakes.
Probably. I've seen my dad, like, my dad has shot probably five or six copperheads in the yard
so that's,
before.
That's roughly like a 1 in 8,000 chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I mean, yeah, just hang around. You're going to meet somebody who is like, well, what happened was.
No. I almost stepped on a copperhead one time. So, I mean, it's all starting to make sense.
So like, at every UNC game, there's, like, 5 to 10 people who've been bitten by a snake.
I assume it's, like, the halftime thing, where it's like, all right, let's come out to the field and see who can run away from a snake for 10 minutes to win.
Who's
going to
go in the basket of snakes?
I just saw somebody, like, somebody at home, right, watching the Panthers game, being like, God damn it, Bryce Young, I can't send. Hold on, I got to answer the phone. He reaches over instead of a phone. It's a snake, right?
Like, ow! Oh, God damn it, got me again. Anyway, as I was saying.
Yeah. Anyway, hold on. I'm good. Number three.
That sounds like, it sounds like tobacco.
Yeah. Number two for incidents, 105.8 per million, West Virginia.
Efficient.
Number three with 92.9, including Jerry Jones sex parties, is Arkansas.
Trees are a factor here.
Sure.
They are. Sure. Again, it's confusing out there. You're like, I think I dropped something down here. Oh, snake!
Is that a stick or...
I went reaching for a whopping stick and I picked up a snake. Yeah. Number four is Oklahoma.
Yeah.
With 61. Number five.
This is a big drop off.
It is. It's a huge drop off. Like North the Carolina. Rate for North Carolina is so big as to be intentional.
Like three like, times
all
number
right,
four.
Here's how we're gonna end it.
That's a lot of research, university.
If you've
there.
Ever been bitten by a snake in North Carolina,
and
please,
and you deserve financial compensation.
Please, the odds are you listen to this show.
Please tweet us or email us at shutdownfullcast@gmail.com just for research purposes.
If you're from North Carolina and you've never been bitten by a snake, please reach out.
Is there some kind of mountain wisdom that says...
I was born in North Carolina and all I got was this lousy snake bite.
I mean, is there some kind of almanac wisdom that's like, when feeling ill or when possessed with the boils, go find thee a snake.
I'm telling
you. Is that what's happening here?
I'm telling because you, it's charismatics.
There has to be some sort of anthropological explanation for this behavior because it's so far... It is to snake... North Carolina is to snake bites what Wisconsin is to binge drinking statistics. They're just so much further out and so many standard deviations above the norm that it's got to be something.
I do think that the eastern part of the state in our coast, like rattlesnakes, the eastern diamondback rattlesnake is actually really prevalent, and literally every beach, like public beach access on the North Carolina coast, there is a rattlesnake sign that's like, hey, watch out for these fuckers. They love to chill right here in these dunes. And I do think maybe Snake Beach is pushing us up a little bit.
I'm sorry, did you say Snake Beach?
No, wait.
Did you say Snake Beach?
Snake Beach is inflating the numbers, you say,
I think,
snakes?
I think our beaches are just, you know, Snake Haven. And we're
is that, again, is that the name of the beach?
Again, you said Snake Beach as though it is a known...
No.
Oh, I got a little house over in Snake Valhalla.
Just spiritually, I think the North Carolina coast
up
is
on Snake
Beach.
Out, Snake Ridge.
This was an Elvis movie. I'm going down the Snake Beach. It's going to be your
time. I got too much
honey,
snake in me, baby.
It's time for you to meet my family. They live in Snake Gully.
I went down to Snake Beach to find myself.
Ooh, let's go to Snake River. No, it's literally a river of snakes. There's no water.
It's going to bite you.
I think we are missing the...
I'm thinking about enrolling at Snake Forest.